come say hi.
Yeah, Nathaniel and Joe. Hey, Joe, do you have any parting words?
No, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to join you, especially to be able to join you virtually given my car troubles this morning. Thank you so much for this. It's been amazing being able to talk with you and everyone listening.
I appreciate you both so much. Listeners, if you want to get in touch with me with ideas, it's the email address is pdx.progressivetalktv. I believe. you can catch me also on Facebook under Progressive PDX Progressive Talk Radio. I'm on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. The email is being changed. That's why I'm kind of skeptical on it. You can also connect with me in any of those places and on Blue Sky. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Nathaniel and Joe. And make it a great day.
When we fight,
we win.
We win.
Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week.
You're just going to silence our communities, and I'm sick of our government entities and all these acronyms trying to rob our community and steal our voice and silence us. It's not okay. Please, I'm begging you to reconsider this very short-sighted decision to divert funding from a local business to a billion-dollar corporation. We need a Kaku TV.
I'm Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica Radio Network, and today on Sprouts, I invite you to come with me to the beautiful community of Maui, Hawaii, home of our most Western network affiliate, Akaku Radio and TV. But recently, Akaku is being slated for defunding. Unfortunately, Akaku's story is not unique. It is one shared by many community access organizations around the country. So, last December, despite inconvenient timing and little notice, residents of Maui showed up in large numbers at a cable franchise renewal hearing. They spoke up to defend their local community TV and radio. This is Trouble in Paradise, the story of community access media.
Has Maui not been through enough? Have we not lost enough that it was a possibility that I could turn on the TV and not have a kaku? So why? Why is the DCCA considering robbing our community of our ability to connect? Just a few nights ago, the county council was having a meeting until 9 o'clock at night. I have a 2-year-old. I couldn't watch this meeting and in person. I can only watch it on a kaku TV. And what about the people in Mo'oka'i or Hana or Lana'i? All you people see are dollar signs. And I am so sick of it. And if Spectrum thinks that they can make us something similar to a kaku TV, that just shows how little they know about our community. And our communities trust a kaku to tell our stories with dignity and with the full truth, the full story. They give us a place. They give us a platform where no one else does. You're just going to silence our communities. And I'm sick of our government entities and all these acronyms trying to rob our community and steal our voice and silence us. It's not okay. Please, I'm begging you to reconsider this very short-sighted decision to divert funding from a local business to a billion-dollar corporation. We need a kaku TV. This proposal is an attack on our free speech. It's an attack on the freedom of the press. You're cutting off our islands. I go to these meetings and people say, young people need to get involved. You need to get involved. Here we are trying to get involved in this system and you're cutting off our resources. You're pulling the plug on a kaku TV where I get all of my information. And the DCCA and Spectrum did nothing to let the public know that this was our one and only opportunity to save this public resource. Mahalo for your time.
When I needed training for my employees to learn about video photography as well as digital imaging, a kaku came through for us on that. That in itself saved me a lot of money and it enhanced my service to the community. The other thing is that I ran for office. Unfortunately, I didn't get in, but a kaku is always there for us, not only for the candidates, but also for the voters. They're very fair. They know what they're talking about. And during the election, if you need information about what's going on here in Maui, you can rely on a kaku to get it done for you. I found out this meeting was Saturday or Friday afternoon, and I'm very active in the community. You know, so I'm looking at here, maybe if we knew more about it, maybe more people from Lahaina would have showed up, but hopefully this will never happen again because we, the people of the county of Maui, which is the island of Maui, Molokai, and Lanai, we need a kaku, and we don't want anybody else from a big corporation telling us what we need to do here, especially when the same corporation that says that we're here for you, but when you call them up, they got a company answering for them that couldn't even pronounce Lahaina.
These are some of the voices of the 100 or so residents of Maui, Hawaii, who went to a cable franchise renewal hearing on December 9, 2024, to defend their local community access TV and radio. Akaku Maui Community Media is an independent, nonprofit, public education and government access television station. It is also a community radio station affiliated with Pacifica Network. As well as the radio, it runs 3 cable television channels that serve more than 53,000 Spectrum cable homes on Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. It also does community media training and production. But recently, as Spectrum, its host cable service, is up for franchise renewal, Akaku is being slated for defunding. How is it possible for such an established and cherished community media group to become defunded?
Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica Radio Network. To get answers, I called up Jay April, president and CEO of Akaku. Here he explains, and in the process tells us an important American story of community media democracy, which could all come to a dark ending, not just in Maui, but across the country.
Akaku is a public access television station. I like to think of it as a beacon of free speech, really the best way that people can communicate to each other in the middle of the ocean. Most people don't realize that Maui is the only county in the United States with 3 islands. We're separated by water. And these islands are very diverse. Akaku is basically a Hawaiian word that means reflection. It also means extraordinary vision. And we're a vibrant network with tremendous amount of community input. We cover county council meetings, and we have a production department that does production for people.
And the reason we know each other is because you also have a community radio station as part of your company.
Right. It's a great marriage in between the radio and the TV. And we also simulcast a lot of the radio shows on the public access channels. And we do a daily news show that we simulcast on the radio. It's the only local news for Maui other than, you know, there's some stuff on the web.
We're big fans of Akaku's impressive accomplishments.
Thanks, Ursula. And you guys are fantastic. People really, really love Pacifica. I mean, you're really the backbone of our station.
Well, thank you so much. Maui recently so infamously went through this tragedy with the fire. Was it a value at that time to have a local media like Akaku? Did you play a role in that?
Oh, absolutely. A central role. It's indescribable how horrible that was. Lahaina, former capital of the kingdom, beautiful community of mostly immigrants from around the Pacific, one of the most iconic places in Hawaii, completely destroyed. And the island is still hurting. So we were there 24/7, and we still are, covering the recovery, which could take at least 10 years or more. The national media was around for a few weeks. Governor comes, and the mayor comes, and people from all over the country come, and they promise this, that, the other thing. And we keep track of it. You know, we hold people to task. We're not controlled by the state, and we're not controlled by the cable company. We have a small little citizen board of directors, and we allow anyone to come on our air and say whatever they need to say without censorship. And community media is really, in my view, a real beacon of free speech, particularly now when everything is so fragmented. But unfortunately, community media, community radio is always under attack. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the state of Hawaii decided that they were going to take money from the franchise fee that we get and divert them back to the cable company, diminishing the voice of our community. And that's a very high cost to pay. Unfortunately, community radio and community television are the only democratic media left in the country. And now that people are being pushed more and more into social media, those are all commercial outlets. If you don't get enough likes, if you don't get enough clicks, you're not successful. If they don't like you, they kick you off. So people really can't say what they want to say. So almost every form of media in America are corporate, except for community television and community radio, right? But these are democratic media sources that are under attack, and they're taking away the voice when they do this, and they don't care. They just want to maximize profit. John Nichols from The Nation said, if we don't have community media, our democracy goes into the toilet. So that sets the framework for what we're all dealing with today.
Well, I would like a little bit of a cable franchise for dummies explanation so that the folks listening to this can understand what's happening.
Sure. Public access started back in the 70s. You know, television was the dominant medium, and we had antennas on our roof that would get broadcast channels into our houses. And everybody was glued to the TV at 6 o'clock every day. There's no such thing as video on demand or any of these things we have today. So television was an extremely powerful medium. Then this thing called cable came along. What happened in the 70s, when the satellites went up in the sky, the companies like HBO came along, and they said, well, if we could send those signals, say, from New York up to the satellite, then the satellite would bounce these signals back down to the cable company that would have a satellite dish, put a cable up on the telephone poles, and then that satellite dish would distribute the channels on the telephone poles and run that cable into your house. So you could get hundreds and hundreds of channels. So most people don't realize, but 6 feet from your property line to the street, you have what's called the public rights of way. And all those poles, well, are actually paid for by taxpayers back in the 30s, I believe. Something called the Rural Electrification Administration decided that Americans needed electricity and Americans needed communications. Telephone, basically. So what we're going to do is we're going to put these poles up everywhere and run electricity into everybody's house. You know, when you drive down the street, you see all these poles. That's all public property. So cable business said, okay, we want to put our wires up on telephone poles, and we want to run these wires into your house so you can watch hundreds and hundreds of channels, right? So, you know, these cable companies, mid-70s or so, started to sprout up everywhere. And it was a lot like the railroads in the 1850s. If these cable companies, if they could get the license to operate in your public right-of-way in front of your house and get that cable into your house, they knew that they were going to be collecting money forever, right? And so it became a big business. And they had all these channels, but they didn't have enough content.
Were the cable companies required to give money?
Yes, yes. So the FCC was more progressive back then. And the FCC made a rule. If you're going to use our public rights of way to base your entertainment monopoly, you're going to have to pay some rent. You can't use our public rights of way for free. This is the Communications Act of 1984. So the rule basically said, in exchange for using the public right of way, the cable companies will be required to pay 5% gross revenue, franchise fee.
Franchise. In a way, that's the equivalent of what we know in radio as a radio license. Right.
They were given franchises, or basically licenses. So they get a license to operate by a local franchising authority, which in most cases it was a municipality. In some cases it was a county. In a few cases it was a state. And the FCC said, what if we took the most powerful communications media in the world, which was television, and we had people have access to their government, have access to education, have access to each other? Let's create nonprofit TV stations all over the country and provide a percentage of gross revenue of the cable company to run these nonprofits. So in the early 70s, that's kind of what happened. 1975, I remember reading this FCC rule. Cable companies must provide public access channels, and everyone can be on television for 5 minutes for free. And I was so excited. Basically, what the government did, they said, okay, if you're going to use our public rights of way, you're going to have to provide public education and government access channels. So these channels started to sprout up to provide three public education and government access channels. And what ended up happening over the mid-70s, maybe early 80s, more and more nonprofits started to sprout up around the country where these public access channels started to materialize. The jurisdictions were by town or by county. New York City was one of the first. Aspen, Colorado, Austin, Texas.
So the cable companies, they had to provide channels to community access, and then they had to pay a certain amount of money to make it possible for those community access televisions to operate.
Yes. So we get 3% of the gross revenue to service Maui. Oahu has a public access station, Kauai has one, and the Big Island has one. And so we're all separate entities that receive 3% of the gross revenue from the cable company. Now, back then, you're still like hundreds and hundreds of cable companies, right? But cable became so lucrative that there was more and more concentration of cable companies. So you go from hundreds to like 10, then from 10 to 5. Now there's three or four cable companies that dominate all the cable systems in America. Spectrum, Charter, and Comcast. And they control almost all the cable systems in the country.
You get your channels from Spectrum.
Yeah. We have three channels, public channel, a government channel, and an educational channel. And we get 3% of gross revenue, which in our case is a little over $1 million a year. Then we also get a capital contribution on top of that, about $3 a subscriber. So a little over $1 million, like $1.2, $1.3 million a year from the franchise fees. And this has been going on now like for about 30 years, since 1992. We've been receiving this money. Now, this is really interesting. In 1984, when the Communication Act was being negotiated, at the end of the day, the 1984 Cable Act said municipalities or counties that collect this 5% franchise fees weren't required to put it into public education and government access. Recommended, but not required.
So that means that community access television was at the behest of the local government?
Right. In most cases, it was at the behest. That's when community television started off sort of as a stepchild of government, which was unfortunate.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing to you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Ursula Rudenberg at Pacifica Radio Network. We are hearing from Jay April, President and CEO of Pacifica's affiliate member in Hawaii, Akaku Maui Community Media. It's an independent, nonprofit, public access television and community radio station. Akaku is a pivotal media service for its community, connecting more than 53,000 homes on the islands of Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. But, like many community access nonprofits around the country, Akaku is being slated for defunding.
Now we have the state coming along to give a franchise renewal to Spectrum to renew their license. And they've said, okay, we're going to take maybe up to one-third of the little bit of money that you get, and we're going to divert it back to Spectrum. So Spectrum can finance a private, secret, state-run iNet. backtrack a little bit. When cable companies came into America, they wired all these cities and towns. And to sweeten the pot, to get the license, they oftentimes put together a separate institutional network to link up schools and to link police and fire departments together, government buildings. Most of those INETs aren't operating. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the state of Hawaii decided that they were going to take money that we get from the franchise fee and divert them back to the cable company to work on these INETs. They did that in Kauai. And when I heard about that, I was trying to figure out why. And then I looked into it. And in 2016, the Trump FCC made a rule. It's called FCC Rule 621, allowing cable company to retroactively charge for these INETs. So remember when we began this discussion and we said, well, you know, the municipalities or the local franchising authority, in this case, it's the state of Hawaii, can take 5% of revenue? Well, this Trump rule in 2016 said the cable companies can unilaterally deduct from this 5% fair market value of the cost of operating these shadow INETs. So they're talking about how much they love Lahaina and how much they love us because we cover Lahaina and we're helping the Maui people. But behind closed doors, Spectrum, the state regulatory authorities, and some bad actors in Oahu reduce public benefit to make us least effective. This is basically a takeover of community media. Spectrum runs the table in almost every jurisdiction in America. They tell their regulators what to do, and the regulators do it. Spectrum in Hawaii were on our governor's transition team. Spectrum also was involved in the hiring of the regulators that regulate. So you have this situation where you have government and industry working hand in hand to deprive the public of the benefit of public access television. They didn't bother to do any kind of financial or technical audit of this INET. But what happened here is the state had a public hearing on Maui on December 9th for us to comment on a Monday morning, providing hardly any notice to anyone. They have to have a public hearing, but they're not really interested in listening. They're about to rubber stamp what they wanted to do.
In a sense, what they're saying, the INET is a public service because it supports libraries and schools.
Right.
So they're moving that obligation to serve the public away from facilities like yours, which are nonprofit organizations. And they're moving it into this thing called INET, which is kind of a public service being run by a private company. Isn't that kind of what they're saying?
Yeah, that's their line, is that, you know, at the expense of public access, it's important and necessary. Our hands are tied. It's the FCC, the federal mandate. The feds are telling us that we have to do this.
It's not really a mandate, right?
No, it's not a mandate at all. It's voluntary on the part of Spectrum. And so the state of Hawaii is basically taking the Spectrum line, taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and following Spectrum's lead. What are we paying for? What are we getting? Well, I can tell you right now that on Maui, maybe police and fire might be using this INET, but most of the INET is dark. It's not activated. It doesn't have electronics attached to it. So I doubt very much that it would justify anything close to some of the monies that they're deciding to siphon away from us.
They don't have any plans to create the kind of news or forum for people to express their views or the community forum that you provide. They're not planning to do anything like that.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
They basically want to take this money away from the public, essentially.
One more question before we move on. Why do you think that the Trump administration made the ruling in the first place?
Well, if you know anything about cable, cable is one of the most powerful lobbies in the United States. The amount of money that's collected by cable companies, because they're basically internet monopolies and they're cable monopolies. So a company like Comcast or Spectrum Charter, for instance, they spread the money around to every politician in America. They just have tremendous amount of political influence.
But you're saying it was really basically a money grab.
Yeah, a huge money grab. They don't want to pay the rent. Everybody has to pay the rent. They don't want to pay the rent. That's basically what it boils down to. And they have all kinds of mechanisms to siphon that money back. And that's basically what they're doing. Let's get some of that money back. You know, these unwashed public access stations that aren't professional, that just have peasantry allowed to say whatever they want. We don't need them. We can just run over them. They have very little money, very little power. So this is basically a takeover, essentially taking away our ability to operate. I mean, that'll have the effect of shutting down the survival information pipeline for the Lahaina recovery. And the fire survivors and the people of Maui are going to have to pay dearly for this. I might have to cut back on my daily news program. I might have to fire my programmer that just had a baby. I mean, this is a naked attempt to just basically decimate community television in Hawaii to the benefit of Spectrum. I mean, this isn't new. You know, we're always operating on a shoestring. We have a small little citizen board of directors, and we're not controlled by the state. We're not controlled by the cable company. We allow anyone to come on our air and say whatever they need to say without censorship, without algorithm. They can't stand that. They don't care that they're in the public rights of way. They don't want regulation. They have the money to do what they want to do already. This is just it's a grab. It's a land grab. It's an electronic real estate grab. Let's get the electronic real estate. Let's get the money. So let's cut the public off at the knees.
So on December 9th, the state held a public hearing about this. It was, as you said, not very well advertised, and it was kind of at an awkward time. But you got a pretty large community response. Can you talk a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, I was actually quite humbled by the response. We heard about this thing at the last minute. The state only posted the notice on their website. They didn't really let people know.
Did you get a notice?
I didn't. I was checking the website. That's the only way I found out, which was, I thought that was very disingenuous of the state not to send me a notice, seeing that we're, you know, a vested interest. They didn't. So we put the word out on our channels and also on our monthly newsletter that it was happening. The bottom line is, I'd say about 100 people showed up, which was astounding. When Kauai had their public hearing, one person showed up. So 100 people show up, and then many more on Zoom. The meeting went on for like 4 hours. It was unanimous. It was like a tsunami of opinion against this move. I think 65 people testified. They sent the deputy. He sat there and listened for 4.5 hours. And, you know, he had to go back to a while with his tail between his legs, basically. And it was like, they didn't have pitchforks and torches, but it was unanimous. Nobody wants this. All we really want is stable funding, 3% for the next 15 years. We're not even talking about adjusting for inflation. And we want what everybody else has, which is high-definition television. Every channel on the cable is high-definition except for public access channels. And that's a discriminatory practice that they put into place. So we want to be on a par with every other channel. And we also want our stable funding for the next 15 years. That's all we're asking for. It's not a big ask. We had one of our state senators show up and basically say that. He said, this is not a big ask. There's plenty of money out there for broadband and iNets and that kind of thing. To take the money away from community television and community radio and put it into these shadow state-run iNets, it's just wrong. It's just wrong on every level. And the way they're doing it, the way they're trying to accomplish it, violates many state laws and rules. That's why we're going to go to court. Because government doesn't follow its own rules unless they're forced to. I'm looking for a do-over. And this is not unique. This is happening all over the country. And I'm imagining that this is going to happen in more and more jurisdictions. So this is kind of a test case in a way.
So Akaku is going to go to court over this?
Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, thank you. Any last words? I appreciate you.
I love Pacifica Radio, Ursula. I mean, it is such a light. People love it here, too. Thanks for broadcasting. So hopefully we can work together and beat back these forces of late-stage capitalism.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you for what you're doing. Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Many thanks to our guest, Jay April, President and CEO of Akaku Maui Community Media. You can find out more about Akaku, as well as access its online media production and streaming at akaku.org, which is written just how it sounds, akaku.org. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, reporting for Pacifica Network. I did check in with Jay April to find out if there had been any progress to defend their funding. He wrote, quote, "The franchise renewal process has now gone behind closed doors at the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs, with a decision by the state cable division expected in June. So far, appeals to the governor to intervene have gone unanswered. Akaku has filed motions to intervene and petitions for a declaratory order that have been denied by Spectrum and DCCA and are now before the courts. A state concurrent resolution introduced by Maui Senator Angus McKelvey asking the state auditor to conduct a financial audit is effectively dead.
The cable operator, Spectrum Charter, remains as active as ever. Spectrum Charter makes anywhere from $1,500 to $4,000 campaign contributions to every Hawaiian legislature every year. And why not? This is real monopoly money. Spectrum Charter shovels $2 billion in revenue out of the Hawaiian Islands every year. Yet Spectrum Charter can't afford to fully fund public access or show a little respect for the community from which they extract upwards of $125 million a year. Give me a break. They have no soul. End quote. That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to Trouble in Paradise, the story of community access media. Many thanks to our guest, Jay April, president and CEO of Pacifica's affiliate member in Hawaii, Akaku Maui Community Media, an independent, nonprofit, public access television and community radio station. Other voices and the song you heard were from residents of the Maui community. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase globally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I am Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica Radio, and I thank you for listening. See you next week on Sprouts.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Show your support for KBOO today by becoming a member. Just text KBOO to the phone number 44321 and join the thousands of members who make volunteer-powered radio possible.
Today on Wings, trade unions...